Since February, we've been looking at the gospel that Luke remembered, the good news from Luke's perspective. So 9 weeks we've been in Luke, and the last several weeks, Luke 24, the last chapter of that gospel where Jesus is raised from the dead, and he comes and walks along that road to Emmaus, and Luke finishes his gospel with the ascension of Jesus back to the Father. And then Luke remembers more, and he writes the gospel, not the gospel, but the letter of the Acts of the Apostles. And Luke starts right where he ended his gospel. And so let me read Acts chapter 1. Luke had finished the gospel account, and now he's telling, if you would, the rest of the story. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this mandate: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They gathered around Jesus and said, Lord, are you now at this time about to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the skies as he was going, and suddenly two men, angel-like, appeared dressed in white and stood with them and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into the heavens. 11 verses, beginning verses of the Acts of the Apostles, filled with huge theological truths. Luke recalls and mentions here the cross, the resurrection, the Holy Spirit, and even the coming kingdom of God. He recalls Jesus' words about Messiahship and the second advent of Christ, the ascension of Jesus, eschatology, Shekinah, glory, an angel announcement, and a missions mandate, all in 11 verses. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, I believe, of pages of biblical commentary, scholarly writings, and scriptural hermeneutics have been written on these verses. But let me just look at two verses, verse 8 and 11. Jesus said, you will receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit, you know the Holy Spirit, we've preached about it, you've studied it, that paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, part of Trinity. The Holy Spirit always has been since the time of creation throughout the Old Covenant, the New Testament. But after Jesus' ascension into heaven, suddenly this Holy Spirit would be realized and manifest in new ways. Jesus says, when you receive power, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be witnesses. Witnesses, one who testifies to the truth. A witness gives a personal perspective, but a witness doesn't say, I think. A witness says, this I know. As Luke looks back and reflects on that last experience, the last words of Jesus on earth, he remembers that vivid moment, that direct commission mandate of Jesus. Those last 17 verses of Luke 24 is basically what he says now in chapter 1. That mandate. Matthew writes about it in his gospel memory. And here it is in Luke and in Acts. The mandate. The mandate of Jesus is about the person. The person of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the object of the witness. The power is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us, them, today, to share the program, to tell the story, his story. I love what William Barclay wrote in his little commentary about these verses. He said the program of being witnesses, the witnessing to the risen, resurrected Christ, that is in extending series of concentric circles. Extending series of circles beginning in Jerusalem and all of Samaria and Judea and the biggest circle to the ends of the earth. The person is Jesus, the object of the witness. The power is through the Spirit. The program is to go and tell the story. Church, this is our biblical mandate for doing ministry and doing missions. This mandate is then what Luke writes about in all of Acts. He begins to tell the story of how the church did that very thing that Christ told him to do. That's what Acts is about. It's a story of the church fulfilling the Acts of the Apostles, and not only the Apostles, the Acts continue to this very day around the world. Our goal, our purpose is to take the Spirit of God with us to proclaim the person of Jesus Christ to all the world. But there's a problem. And the problem is listed in verse 11. There they stand. There goes Jesus ascending to the Father. And the angel says, guys, why? Well, let me read it. Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Now, I hate that the girls just sang, Lift My Eyes. That was a great song. I told John of all weeks for me to title my sermon, Stop Looking, Take Your Heads Out of the Clouds. The angel said, why are you standing here looking into the sky? Get your heads out of the clouds. Jesus has returned to the Father. He's returned to the Father. And one day, we know the second advent of Christ, he will return to the earth. He will. We have so many folks who are always trying to figure out when that will be, and they buy big billboards and give you a date and an hour and tell you, get ready. That's when it's going to happen. Jesus says, stop worrying about that. You don't know. You don't know when it's going to happen. But between that time then and now, or between now and then, he says, get your heads out of the sky and get your feet on the ground. That's our mission's mandate. To not stand around looking, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Oh, I wonder when. Oh, the angel said, no, you can't do what God longs you to do with your eyes always looking up. The Great Commission, the mission mandate is to do it. To do missions and ministry beginning in our Jerusalem and going into our Samaria and Judea and to the extremes parts of our world. 8 months from today, it's Christmas. I meant to tell the kids that. 8 months. Liz Byler, have you bought my Christmas present yet? I thought you had. We have spent 4 months already in this year, 115 days or past. And we can't recapture those. Some of those days you would say, I'm glad they're gone. I tend to say, slow down, old life, slow down. 115 days have passed. It's time for us to get busy and renew our commitment and our vision once more for missions and ministry. I love that for the last several years, we have been focused, not entirely, but we have spent a lot of energy and dollars and a lot of programming on our building. I am grateful to God for all you have done and what God's allowed us to do for years, to dream and to vision and to think and to plan and to plot and to give and to pray for our buildings. But we must never allow our buildings to overcome our mission mandate. We use our buildings to accomplish the mission that God has for us. Let me share five or six areas. At least let me highlight some opportunities that are before us. And I could go a long time, but 4 o'clock will be here shortly. Let me talk about some areas. Our mission mandate, it begins with global missions. I love the mission statement of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship that says churches and individuals working together to spread the hope of Christ to unreached people around the world. One of the great privileges in my ministry was being a part of the birth of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship and to support that entity for the past 25 years. CBF, it's not a perfect denomination mission sending agency. There's not a perfect agency out there. But I believe and I have seen and I know the leadership within the CBF. CBF today is in 25 different countries and they're using a 21st century model. They send short-term mission teams and they are committed to long-term mission field personnel. Missionaries, really the few weeks before COVID came to the United States, some of you went to work with the Adape, some of our CBF missionaries in Spain. You saw what they did. You linked hands with them for a week doing missions and ministry to the least of these. I wish I could tell you the story, and I wish we could go to be with the Alfords. They're in Togo, West Africa, or David and Lauren Bass, who serve in Cambodia. I wish we knew what Britt and Casey are doing. Britt and Casey, we don't even know their last name. We know, but we don't share it. They serve in China in an undisclosed place in China. With the blessings of God and through the support of CBF, they're sharing Christ. These are our missionaries. These are folks who are going to unreached peoples around the world. And we must pray for them and undergird them. And yes, financially support them. I confess to you, I have not done a good job as your pastor encouraging you to know more about our global missionaries and encouraging you to give. But we're going to change that this fall. We will have a global missions emphasis. And I will tell the story of some of these missionaries and encourage you to give to support global missions to the ends of the earth. That's where we are told to go. And if we can't go, we can give and pray and support those who do. But you know, some of these mission opportunities have come to us. You want to know what Samaria looks like? The Samaritans today are in Latin America. They're in Central America and they're making their way towards us. And this morning, the Samaritans, in many of the eyes of many Americans, the outcasts are at our border. Hundreds and thousands of them, 500 a day, are being processed just along the Texas border. They are meeting the requirements, they're being processed, and they come across the border, and they have nothing. I'm so glad to be a part of the board of Fellowship Southwest. Fellowship Southwest is working with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship and with Texas Baptist. We're also working with the Roman Catholic Church, and we're working with some Methodists who are on our board and some assemblies and Pentecostals along the border, all along the border, meeting needs of folks. 500 a day are going to the Catholic Charity Center alone. They have no food. They have nothing. They've been processed. They're legal now to go. They have 24 hours before they put on a plane or put on a bus or someone is connected to them. Walker right now is working on a mission trip. We've done it before where we go to the Texas border
and we give them food. We give them clothes, and we allow them to have a shower. And we help them get to the bus stop or to the airport. The least of these who just are looking for hope. And they need to know the hope of the gospel, and they need to see Christ in us.
Later this fall, we will have opportunity to begin building a home in 2022, a home for our family on this side of the border in a colonia in Texas. This family has been chosen a while ago. They've been vetted and chosen by Buckner International to obtain this home. They're working. They're learning about finances. They're learning about how to pay a mortgage payment. We will build a home on our parking lot, take it apart, take it to the valley, and build it back. We've had this connection with Buckner for many years, and we haven't been able to do so the last 2 years, but this year we will, for a family that is deserving, that has met these criteria, who need a home, and we can do that. And you may say, well, what about those in our own community that need a home? We should be doing that too. We should be working with Habitat for Humanity, a great organization that's not a handout, it's a hand up, and we need workers in our own community. Our Samaria and our Judea begins here, and it goes out, and the world is coming to us. They need to see and hear the gospel message. That's missions. That's our mission mandate. I want to bring it closer to our Jerusalem. Jesus said, the Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Spirit, and you will be witnesses beginning right here. Can you imagine? Not having food in your home in Lufkin, Texas. Hunger and food insecurity in Angelina County is rampant. COVID took a difficult situation and made it even more difficult. We have now not one food bank, but two food banks. And every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, I drive by one and see folks line up waiting for food. In Lufkin, Texas, we started a program through our church. Some women did second sacks, capturing food that was being thrown away to give to the Salvation Army and to the Crisis Family Center and other places. That ministry has now changed in some ways. Now it's second sacks. Every week, 135 children at Hurdy Elementary get a sack of food so they can have something to eat until that Monday when they come back for school breakfast. Can your mind imagine your child going from lunch on Friday and getting home? It's not their fault that children are hungry in Lufkin and they leave school on Friday, 135 of them, clutching a paper sack that Berkshire's provides and food that we provide for children. 135, that's just the tip of the iceberg, but it's something. It's something. Meals on Wheels, we don't work with them, but we should. Senior adults who sit at home waiting. The only contact many of our senior adults ever have 5 days a week is that knock on the door when someone gives them their lunch. And they eat half of it so they can have the rest of it for supper. And they wait for the next day thinking that maybe they will come again and knock on my door and bring me food. You shall receive power and you will be my witness beginning in Jerusalem. Here's a great program. You're familiar with the Mosaic Center. Are you familiar with Christian Men's Job Corps? These are two wonderful Lufkin ministries. They take men and women and they provide for them job skills, job training for life. How to work a computer, how to turn on a computer, how to write a resume, how to manage your finances. They're teaching women and men about health and wellness and parenting and CPR and GED and vocational training. And all of that, All of that is surrounded by the gospel of unconditional love and unapologetically presenting the gospel of faith in Jesus Christ. Each time the Mosaic Center women meet right here on First Street, or the Christian Men's Job Corps meet at the Men's Field House near Denman Church, each session, not only do they have all these training skills, but they have Bible study and they have prayer. A week from tomorrow, the Christian Men's Job Corps class will graduate. Some men who for the first time in their life have fulfilled anything. Some men who for the first time in their life, someone has invested in them, and they will get a certificate that they finished the coursework of Christian Men's Job Corps, and they'll graduate in our Wright Chandler Great Hall next Monday night. That's missions, folks, right here in our Jerusalem. These last two areas, I'm not sure what it will look like. This will be the sixth year that we have done Love Lufkin. That day that feels so good for us, we get to wear our purple t-shirt, get to wear shorts if the weather's right. We meet in here and we go across our community and we do mission projects in the name of Christ, First Baptist Church. And it's been one of the greatest things I think we've done here in the area of missions locally. But after 5 years, what does it need to look like now? How do we take that to the next layer? How do we color maybe outside the lines? What are we missing as we love Lufkin? What are we missing? What area have we just overlooked? How can we do what we've done and even do it better? And maybe it connects back, that'll be the middle of October, maybe it connects back to 2 weeks later, October 31, Halloween on Sunday. It's been 2 years since we've had our fall festival because of COVID, and you know, it became that we were just another church, another group that gave out a lot of candy to a lot of kids that were downtown. But what if we had a block party, either on Love Lufkin Day or 2 weeks later, a block party, a carnival atmosphere for our community? Who in our church lives in our community? How many of us live on Bremont or Grosbeck or Paul? How many do we even know our community, our neighborhood? What would it look like if we had a carnival, a day for our neighborhood, and yes, for our church, and we linked arms and they became part of us, and we fed them and we played games with them and we said, hey, come look at our gym. You know what? Let us open our gym for you several nights a week. What if our FLC became the community center of our part of our community? Folks, it's just unlimited on what we can do and should do. Jesus said, wait for the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you will have power. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and even Samaria and Judea and all around the world. It's not one or the other. It's both and. Then they just stood. I wonder when Jesus is coming back. Boy, we need Jesus. Wow, we love you, Jesus. And the angel said, guys, get your heads out of the clouds. Stop looking up. Start looking out. Maybe we begin by looking in our own heart. Then we need to look down at our feet. And we need to get busy. Shall we pray? Stop looking up. Start looking out. Begin by looking in. And then look down. God, it's so easy to hear a sermon like this and then to say, that's right, boy, that's good. Yeah, where we're going to eat lunch. What will we do? God, you have so blessed us and our church. Some folks decided a long time ago to stay at this location in this community, not to move out to Crown, not to move out to the Loop, to stay right here.
recognize our community? Does our community recognize us as that big white church, that brick church? They just drive by it. Do they know that we love them and we're here for them and they are welcome here? We'll go eat lunch today, and can we thank those kids for hurting who are still clinging to that sack? Those in Togo who never heard the name of Jesus, but some missionaries are loving them where they are and living with them. Togo's a long way from here. We can encourage them. We can stand with them. Those families who've been separated, those families who are standing at the border, which one of us would not do the same thing for our family? We were afraid of gangs and violence. If we had nothing, if we were in Guatemala, we would do all we could to get to this nation. We can sit and try to figure out what they could and what they shouldn't, and we don't understand it. It's so big, we don't understand immigration. We understand we have to love, give water, give food, give grace, and give love, and let Christ shine through us. Take our life and lead us, Lord. That makes us feel uncomfortable, and that's all right. That our eyes stop looking up and start looking out is my prayer. And